Fantasy Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. You got me, Kevin Hagland, Corey Majors, Alec Medford, the famous Mike Bassick is in Italy, so he will not be on the show this week.
Ciao.
Right now, we're pretty much on a one-week on, one-week-off situation with Mike. So he is in Italy. He will be out for the next week or so.
Who's going to be out next week?
I don't know. I'm pretty sure we'll all be here for at least three of those days. So my question is, because Sean didn't say this, but he did seem like a little bit surprised when I was like, I'm super impressed by this victory. And I think there can be two different versions of this. I can be super impressed by the victory and also not ready to be launching the Cowboys back into contendership. I hope that is acceptable for now. But I don't care what it looked like, because in the first half, I thought this game would single-handedly cut into the popularity of football in the world, let alone in America, because it was so terrible. But the Cowboys got the win. Dak made the heads-up scoop on that fumble, then made the pass. Tolbert got the catch. It was all amazing. I'm excited about the victory.
Yeah. Do you know how many 3-2 teams there are in the NFL right now?
Are there a lot?
10.
That feels like a lot.
And that means there's, what, 3 other teams that have better records? Or 4, maybe. I think it's 3. The Washingtons, the Chiefs, and I do believe the Vikings and the Texans. So that's 4. So that's 14. Now, Kevin, what have I said about the Cowboys? They are middle of the pack.
Yes. Everything
you look at, they're a middle of the pack team. And based on this, they're at the bottom of the middle of the pack. They're right there in the middle of the pack where they belong at 3-2 right now. If you can't look at the game and say they won a tough, nasty football game last night where it was a physical game. What's the thing we've said about this team so far? They can't win physical games, right? We've said that over and over. Once you hit them in the mouth, they can't compete. Well, they did last night. You can't look at that, but also say that they still have work to do, then you're not living in reality. You have to admit that they did good, but also admit they still have work to do. Those are the two things that are real in what's going on with the Cowboys.
Look, I am not anti Chris Collinsworth. I know that plenty of people are. There was a couple times yesterday I was like, shut up. Just shut up. He had to tell me 58 times this was the kind of game that Pittsburgh wants. And Pittsburgh always wins. And I was like, yeah, I know. But I think it bothered me so much because he's not wrong. Like, I'll take it from the other side. Doesn't this feel like the kind of game that the Cowboys usually lose?
Always.
It's ugly. It's physical. And
there was a rain delay.
Yes. And it feels like we shot ourselves in the foot multiple times, penalties and turnover wise. It felt like a game the Cowboys would lose, but they didn't. They won it by 1 yard.
Mm-hmm.
That's fine. That won't be noted in the records. It won't be like, oh, the Cowboys are 10-7, but they did win that one game. Doesn't matter. They won.
And I mean, we went back and looked at it. They're -3. In the turnover battle.
Yeah, don't be fooled by that like last second lateral palooza. For the real part of the game, they're -3. How many times does a team -3 win a game on the road?
No, very rare. And on the road, even against Pittsburgh specifically, in that play specifically. So again, I'm not on cloud 9 today because there were a lot of bad things about last night's game. Yeah, I get that. And that's for the coaches and the players to go back and work on week in and week out for the rest of the year. But at this point, you're a 3-2 football team. You could be a lot worse. I know Jerry came on Friday and was like, hey, look, just look at the person next to you. They could be doing a lot worse off than you. That doesn't always work in the world of mental health, Kevin. I've learned.
I try to do
learned, but that doesn't always work.
I struggle.
But man, they did some positive things that we haven't seen. One of them, their defense was pretty good last night. Their defensive effort to stop the run, pretty good. Justin Fields, pretty bad. And then the other thing, they ran the damn ball. And I'm sorry if I'm jumping ahead on anything in the show, but Kevin, this is what I think was the biggest difference in that fourth quarter last night when Dak Prescott leads the team down the field to score. Because Rico Dowdle and Zeke were able to run effectively. I'm not saying they ran the ball well. They ran it effective enough to get the first downs necessary, put themselves in short yardage situations all the way down the field. You know why? How that helped? Because then Minkah Fitzpatrick becomes a single high safety, and that's where Dak is at his best. Once you get a safety to come down, Dak knows what he's supposed to do, and he was able to move the ball down the field. You have to, and you can see it from last night's game with Pittsburgh. You have to not be one-dimensional. If you're one-dimensional offense, then you are screwed in the NFL. They can make you that. And last night, because the Cowboys had two dimensions that worked, just look at Pittsburgh. They were they were actually zero-dimensional because their one dimension wouldn't work. They were better last night because they were able to run the football effectively. Now, is that because you put your left guard out at left tackle and said, F it, we're just running like he's a left guard?
I would argue, yes.
Then that's fine, too. But you know what? Zach Martin got a little pissed off last night, too, and then went out there and stuck somebody in the mouth. So that was something that they needed to do and needed to accomplish. And they got to build on that from the rest of the season, too.
Did you think that he was also hurt for real for a second and you're like, F it? We just can't field the team this year.
Yeah.
Yeah, because after all the injuries and then Guyton goes out and then they're like, oh, Zach Martin's down. I'm like, just, I don't know what you're supposed to do.
And if you're asking if they ran the ball well because Guyton was out, I have two questions about that. Because somebody that text came in and they asked if it was Garden first, Kevin. But I love it. Like, is he the Garden of Guyton? Maybe. Maybe it's because when that happened, you were like, we need to run the ball because I don't necessarily trust that we're going to pass the ball. I don't know exactly how that went, but they did run the ball more effectively with two guards out on the left side of the ball.
From the man, there is a lot of feedback. Oh, this is hurtful from the 469. When Kevin says we, is he referring to Pittsburgh or Dallas? I'm definitely referring to Dallas. Dallas,
I'm a huge
Dallas.
Steelers fan.
No!
It is weird.
No!
It is weird when you say we, but that exists.
From the 940, always good to win, but I'm not impressed. An 8 or 9 win team beat an 8 or 9 win team.
They have not done anything impressive this year.
No.
Listen, the Cowboys have yet to play a real plus game, in my opinion.
That's fair.
Not even the game against the Browns was a real plus game, in my opinion. They've yet to play a complete game, even. And that is being good in the early part of the game and good in the last part of the game. They've yet to do that. A lot of the league is still yet to do that completely, except for the undefeated teams. And, you know, that like they're at some point, they got to be defeated at some point, right?
You'd think.
The Cowboys haven't done that yet. Here they are at 3-2. And at this point in the season, Kevin, where do we feel like the record was going to be going into this tough part? Because I think I was sitting there going around this schedule, this record too.
I was too. These are the kind of texts that I don't understand unless either A, you hate the Cowboys, or B, Cowboys fans have been annoying you since last night saying we're going to win the Super Bowl. If one of those two things is true, then I get it a little bit more. From the 469, the Cowboys will be lucky to win 4 out of their next 5. I mean, yes, that would be awesome.
Okay.
And I won't be surprised if they lose all 5 games. They start to play a tough schedule. Enjoy y'all's 3-2 record now, LOL. Like, I don't understand.
That's what I'm doing today. Enjoying the
LOL. The
3-2 record, yeah.
Like, what part in this opening segment did you hear us say they're going to go win the damn Super Bowl? That's the whole reason I'm so excited about this win, is because I do see the brutal stretch coming up. And I'm like, yo, because I don't think Pittsburgh is that good. If you can't beat Pittsburgh, who are you going to beat in the schedule coming up? Now, I realize the 49ers have their own problems, but like, you don't know about the Lions. I'll take a look at it. When people say tough schedule, I hear you. And this is a tough chunk of the schedule. But all of a sudden, the Eagles and the 49ers look significantly more vulnerable than I would have thought at the beginning of the season. That's not to say the Cowboys will win, but this is why you needed this win.
Yeah, I would say the games that I thought were going to be wins, Falcons and Commanders and maybe Eagles, were the ones that now I'm looking at and I'm like, oh, and this is a little bit different, because I feel like the Falcons are going to be a tough game. I feel like Washington's going to be a tough game. But I kind of slated the Lions and Niners and Texans as the really tough ones in this stretch here. But now I'm looking at it a little bit differently from the opposite side of it. But you got to take it 1 week at a time? Is that like the like
sure.
You have beaten Pittsburgh 20-17 on the road. I will never be upset about winning a game on the road. Not a, against a division opponent last week, great. Against an opponent like Pittsburgh, even better. I'm perfectly happy sitting here today and saying to myself, they still have to be better. They still have to get better at what they're doing.
I'm really a big fan of this text from the 469 Rams fan here, so I don't really have that much room to talk. But then they go on, hey, my team's tied for the worst record in all of football, but I have thoughts. But the Cowboys are not impressive. It'll be the same result as every year for you Cowboys fans. I'm not disputing that at all. That doesn't affect my fandom in the moment. Do I have that like part in the back of my head that's like, you know how this is going to end? Of course. I think most Cowboys fans, whether you've been a Cowboys fan for 10 years or 60 years, I have probably had that same thought. But I didn't watch last night's game. And I'm curious, are people watching that game like this? I know Mike does. I'm not in this boat. When Tolbert got the pass from Dak, or when Dak recovered the football to keep the game alive, I was like, F yeah. I wasn't thinking they're going to lose in the wild card round. Mm-hmm. Like, that's just not the way I process as a sports fan. If you do, more power to you. You sports fan however the hell you want. That is not how I process as a sports fan.
There's, and I'm with you, there's not a single moment in the regular season, except for the last game of the regular season, if you're eliminated from the playoffs, where you don't have next week to get better.
Yeah.
The only time in this in the regular season or in the entire Cow football season that you don't have a chance to get better is in the playoffs and the Super Bowl. You don't, if you're eliminated, you're done. In the regular season, you can say, okay, we were crap at this, we can get better next week. You win, I can still get better next week. Hell, I might even have a bye week. So I get 2 weeks to go recover and reboot and do all these things. The Cowboys just had 10 days off. So they could, oh, is it 11? 10 days off. So they could recover and reboot and do that. That's the way the regular season is. You take the regular season for what it is. You have to get better from the beginning to the end of it and hope you're at your best at the end of it. That's what you're hoping for.
And I go back to this. And look, I'm telling you, I hope everybody listens throughout the show. But if you're waiting for us to, if you're waiting, I'll just speak for me. If you're waiting for me to crap all over this victory today, not going to happen. Are there plenty of things within the game that I was like, oh, we sure need to do that better? Fair. But you tell me you're going on the road to play a team that was 3-1, regardless of what you think about their 3-1 record, and you're the underdog, and you're not going to have Brandon Cooks, Micah Parsons, DeMarcus Lawrence, Tyler Guyton's going to get hurt, and Zach Martin is going to leave the game, and CeeDee Lamb and Dak are going to continue to have no second half chemistry, I'd be like, oh my God, we're going to get destroyed. But you didn't.
You're going to tell me that Tyrus Wheat's one of your best players on the field? Nobody would have said that.
All right.
You're going to tell me that Linval Joseph was going to bull rush somebody into the quarterback and cause a crazy thing to happen?
That might have been the most impressive play of the game.
You're going to tell me that Mozzie Smith is going to have an offensive lineman get under him on a 4th-and-1 situation? I would have believed that. All right. I would have totally believed that.
Me too.
But all the other things
that
I saw happen. Even Kevin, what's the last name of our cornerback? No, not the good ones. No, the other ones.
Diggs.
Nope.
Bland.
With an O.
I know what he's getting at.
Number 27. I know there was a moment where the ball went out of bounds and he did the no, like he did something.
Didn't care for that.
Even Jordan Lewis still hasn't done it this year. Did you notice that?
Yes,
he still has not done it.
He knows.
This. I didn't expect him to play well. The secondary played pretty damn well last night. Again, Justin Fields wasn't good, but they played pretty damn well. And man, I'll say this again and again, Jordan Lewis is the lifeblood of this defense. He's a leader on this team. I watched from the moment he and Pickens got into it at the beginning of the game all the way until the end when Pickens grabbed his face mask out of frustration. I want more people acting like and playing like Jordan Lewis on this team.
I'm with you. You keep saying that Justin Fields didn't play well. Did you not see that throw where he was throwing the ball out of bounds? He threw it so far out of bounds, it went over the bench on the sideline. I was like, because I was watching the game with Jess, and man, God bless her, because she was like, I'm going to stay up and watch this entire game.
My wife went to bed.
I loved it. But she goes, uh-oh, because that's the thing with the way they shoot in the NFL. You see a ball go up in the air and you're like, I have no idea what the rest of this field looks like.
That's why I like Prime Vision so much. Prime Vision gives you the whole thing.
Because you could watch a pass go up and you're like, well, that's going to go 15 yards out of bounds. But when Justin Fields fired it off to the sideline and you're like, oh, crap. But then you see it flew over the bench. And so it was so far out of bounds. So
yeah, no,
he wasn't great.
Somebody said with a patchwork defense, the way that they're doing, with the way that they're trying to figure out how to create some offense, they don't have the talent in running backs. They're trying to figure out what they have in talent in second receiver right now. All they really have offensively is CeeDee Lamb. I guess Kevontae Turpin shows up last night for some big moments as well. You had some moments from other players that you really needed to show they can contribute to this team last night. Build on that. Accept the win and move on.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, the players the Cowboys need to fill the injury void. How'd they do last night? Because we had some standouts, Dax and the Fan.
Snap is back. Has some time. Going deep left. He's got a man all October. At the 50, at the 40, and down the left sideline.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. I want to talk about some of the Cowboys players that you need to step up in the injury void and how you think they did at least last night. But quick football question for you. How terrible do you think that feeling is when you're a corner and you're letting your guy peel off because you're going to go inside and you think you have safety help on the backside? Or if you're a safety and you go, oh, crap, that person cut this way. My assignment was supposed to go to the right. I have to imagine for a while, especially when that ball is floating in the air, that has got to be a terrible feeling because there is nobody covering Jalen Tolbert.
It's like watching you're driving and then you look over and there's a tire rolling down the side of the highway and you're like, oh, my gosh, what's going on? And then you realize it's your tire. And you're just like, oh, no. Happened to my dad once.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, he was coming off like the one of those tall, you know, those overpasses, and that happened. But, yeah, man, it's a sinking feeling of S. And then you got to do everything you can to try and catch up and stop that person. But you're not always going to be able to do that because it didn't happen right.
Plus, you know, if they score, the camera's going right to you or Mike Tomlin after the fact.
And you're heading over to the sideline and somebody's about to chew you up, man.
Yeah.
And then you're telling your teammates, my bad, I'll make up for it. And if you don't ever make up for it, then so what? So there you go.
Yeah, that was, I mean, look, I was really glad that it happened, but that was tough. And so one of the reasons I want to bring up Jalen Tolbert, is clearly one of the people that you needed to step up in the injury void. Corey, you talked about this a lot during the week, and I want to point out, it's not just the injury void of Brandon Cooks, right? It's the injury void of Tank and Micah. Like, you'd think your defense would suffer. You're going to need better offensive production. When people are down, you need other areas to step up.
You already needed better offensive production.
That is for sure.
And again, this team hasn't played a complete game offensively.
Agreed.
Defensively, that was probably my favorite outing from the Cowboys so far this year. Defensively was last night. Although the second half was a much different story than the first half. I didn't love the Tyrus Wheat. I didn't love the call on that because he hit him at the right time. But I guess if you're going to say the top of his helmet hit the face mask, although he didn't lead with his helmet. So that's a different story, too.
That was another Collinsworth moment where I get it why people don't like him. I'm not in that camp. But when they're like, look, you got 4 inches. You got to stay away from those 4 inches. And I'm like, I got it, man.
Yep.
I mean, that's something for the ladies or men to decide.
God, dude, what are you doing right now?
I'm sorry.
It is Monday morning.
Let me ask you, Alec, I want you to ponder this. I'm not saying it has to be the question of the day, but if you wore some kind of digital necklace that said what you were working with, what percentage would that change basic hookup patterns?
Oh.
Like if some lady's like, oh.
Look, some ladies like tugboats, all right? Some like cruise liners, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's kind of, you know, you don't know exactly what all the women are wanting.
Fair.
Or need that week or day. That's fair. Or Saturday night.
So my point was, good job to Jalen Tolbert and Jake Ferguson. If I told you going into this game, this surpassed what I realistically thought expectations were for this game. 13 catches on 17 targets. So, first of all, the efficiency of those two combined. But then 13 catches, 157 yards, and a touchdown. Obviously, that touchdown being the game winner. I thought that both of them stepped up when needed, and I thought Ferguson came along.
Ferguson, obviously, from missing, was it the first game, second game? It was the second game. After he got injured in Cleveland, you were like, you can completely tell you're missing him. Schoonmaker is fine. Ferguson's different. Ferguson has a toughness about him. He also has this thing, Alec, I don't know if you've noticed what Ferguson does when he catches the ball and he feels like there's a body around him. He just rolls for more yards, but it's not like a roll on the ground. It's a roll like he does a sideways somersault. He's like, I'm going to get more yards somehow. Have you noticed that from him?
He's very physical in that aspect, but safe also, because you notice part of that somersault like movement is him putting two hands on the football most of the time. Mm-hmm. So he says, not only am I going to get the yards after the catch, I'm also going to make sure that this football stays in our possession and we get those extra 2, 3, 4 yards. He's really, really smart.
I expect out of him and CeeDee, I expect certain things. And with CeeDee Lamb, I expect he's going to get double covered. I expect they're going to bracket him. I expect they're going to try to take him out of the game. And even Mike Tomlin said beforehand, did you see, they played it like 6 or 7 times. Was it Tony Dungy sit down with him where they kind of walked through and they were talking about it.
I did not.
And they showed a play from a couple of years ago and he like, it was TJ Watt on CeeDee Lamb. And they were like, why did you have Watt cover me? He was just like, we didn't know who CeeDee Lamb was at that point, obviously. Like, it makes sense. Mm. Now we do. We got to figure out where he is on the field. We got to take him out of it. And so what does that do? That does open up Jalen Tolbert for one-on-one coverage. That does open up Jake Ferguson down the seam for some of these and in the flats. And that's what Dak Prescott was able to take advantage of when he got the ball out quickly. When Dak Prescott held on to the ball too long, sacks happened. That's what happened last night. But those two definitely did. I did not expect it from Jalen Tolbert. I did from Ferguson. Tolbert was a pleasant surprise, but a much needed addition to what they're doing offensively.
So some positives so far.
And I got to give Dowdle. Okay. I got to give Dowdle some flowers too.
Okay. I want to get to him.
And I'll get to him in the C block for sure too.
Well, what about Terrence Steele? Because look, I still think the fumble was on Dak because he held the ball too long. But that play aside, there were plenty of times where Terrence Steele was getting eaten up. And I know an argument can be, yeah, well, he went up against the best defensive player in the league.
For all but one play.
Yeah.
I think there was one play last night where he was on the opposite side. But TJ Watt, it was TJ Watt and Terrence Steele. You know you're getting that, though. All week you prepare for it. They're like, hey, he's going to be on your side the entire game. Be prepared for it. So Terrence Steele had to, and he had to also, the Cowboys also had to know at some point he's going to get beat. That was a tough one, man. It definitely was a tough one for him last night, but they were, again, able to do just enough. And then again, Kevin, what happens? They're running away from it a lot of times. When they ran to that side, they're running behind Zach Martin, and Steele, all he had to do was kick Watt out of the play, and they were able to get the yards necessary.
I want to throw out another one, and I know this is somebody that Kyle Yeomans was talking about. He's got an article up about it on DallasCowboys.com. Marshawn Nealon, man, I almost lost focus on the fact of when we were talking about all the injured players. Then, in addition to the injuries you already had and Guyton going out, and I know Martin, they said it just ended up being dehydration, and then I like how he was mad about it, and he was like, he told all the guys, I've never been dehydrated in my life. And so I just love like that level of passion. And then you lost Marshawn Nealon, too. And I would have thought, then who the F in hell is playing on the defensive line?
And that's when I was almost ready to just be like, okay, this one's over with, man. Because if you're smart, you're running to that side the whole game. You're just saying, that's where I'm going. That's the dude that we were expecting was going to be there. Who's their backup? Tyrus Wheat. And then what does McCarthy say at halftime coming out of it? He says, look, yeah, we're going to have some of our linebackers step in and be part of this rotation tonight. Just because we don't have the bodies to do it. We're going to have to find more bodies right now. Do we have a confirmation on Nealon or Guyton? Can we get those? We'll talk to Mickey coming up here at 11 and Steven at noon.
We can find out from Steven.
But that's part of, you got to prepare during the week and know, hey, I'm probably going to play this week. And then we go to, because some people were pointing out, Here it is from the 717.
Jalen Tolbert had a sprained nut.
No.
That's what Tyler Smith said.
When we get when we have that audio, we definitely should play it because it's great. But it was the 717. One question was, where was Parsons and Lawrence on the sideline? Then somebody had also asked, did they play better defensively because those guys weren't there? Listen, those guys are extremely talented.
Yeah.
But they also, and we've discussed this multiple times, they're coming from a completely different defense and trying to learn it. And this week, these guys that were in it were like, I will just do my job. Whatever Coach Zimmer says, I will do. I'm not going to do anything outside of it. Sometimes I think Micah gets a little lost in that. This was important for guys to be where they're supposed to be and win the battles they're supposed to win, because then again, Kendricks is able to fire in there and get his tackles for the night. I think he had 10 tackles on the night. Overshown is able to get in there and fire in and get his tackles on the night. He had 8-7 solo tackles. Like, that's what's so important for those guys up front. Just do it sounds so easy, Kevin. Do your job. Be where you're supposed to be so that other guys can do their jobs at their best.
Is for Overshown, the production is obviously what you need, but how impressed are you by the fact that he played, if not all, just about all of the snaps? Because somebody texted 100%
of the snaps? 100% of the snaps last night.
From the 972, that boy Overshown might be the real deal. I like his hustle. This might be built into the hustle part of it. I like that he seems like a 2nd and 4 is the end of the world. You know what I'm saying? Like,
that's yes.
He doesn't just dial up for like the last play of the game. He's like, hell no, they didn't get that first down. And there's 7 minutes left in the second quarter. And he's like, what? And so you need not all your players, because then I feel like your team would implode. But you need those kind of players who, like, every freaking first down they give up is like, the hell are we doing, guys?
And remember in the last segment, and I just tweeted this too, I copied. By the way, Bobby Belt posted a video of Jordan Lewis walking through, and he said, Pittsburgh needs a receiver. George Pickens is trash. Or weak. I'm sorry. He said weak. And I said, I want everybody to play with his mentality. Overshown plays the same way I think Jordan Lewis is playing right now. I love the way that kind of mentality. It's tough. They're hard on themselves about what they're doing. They go out and they know they can make it difficult on somebody else too. And they're not going to make business decisions on tackles or anything else. They're getting in there and making the play because that's what matters the most.
George Pickens caught 3 passes on 7 targets. He caught 1 pass for 21 yards. Hey, that was great. The other 2 passes he caught were for a total of 5 yards.
Yeah.
So the 1 target, it worked. The other 6 times he was targeted, 2 catches for 5 yards.
Yeah. And I go back to the beginning of the game, Kevin. I think it was 6 plays into the first offensive drive for Pittsburgh. And Pickens catches one on the sideline. He stands over Jordan Lewis. Jordan Lewis just stands back up, and he kind of gets in front of him. Doesn't say anything. He just looks him in the eye.
Yeah.
And the referee immediately runs over there to separate it because he's like, oh no, this is Pittsburgh's, you know, this is going to be a physical game all night. But he doesn't say anything. Then he locks him up every chance he got the rest of the night. He had irritated Pickens. That's what I want, man, out of my defensive players. Somebody who gets in the mind of the opponent. And then at the end of the game, what happens? Pickens is grabbing him by the face mask because he's ticked off about it. Yeah, dude, that's what the Cowboys needed last night. They needed that kind of toughness.
And I really think you're onto something here. That feels like a psychological edge. Like, if you were playing a pickup basketball game or whatever, and you were just draining threes on somebody, and you're just like, oh, there's another one, and they're like, shut the... you do, blah, 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 blah. And I'd be like, got him. He's lost. Mm-hmm. But if he saw it go in, heard me talk, and then look back at me and goes, okay.
Mm-hmm.
I'd be like, oh no, I might have miscalculated this situation.
Kevin Garnett said this once about Tim Duncan, is like his trash talk is close, almost. And like, he was like, it was the worst trash talk because you thought you did something good. And then Tim Duncan's telling you that you didn't do well enough. And it always frustrated you. And that's what I've told Carter. I'm like, hey man, that's my son Carter. I was like, hey, when you're talking trash out there, talk like this way. And he said the opponent last week got so mad at him that they started yelling at him after the game. And he was just like, we won and walked off. And yeah. I was like, that's what I'm saying. You don't have to say much. You made them mad enough because you didn't give them anything to work with. They knew they failed. Yeah, they knew they failed. And you told them, you got to work a little harder.
Normally, I would say this is a bad thing to say, but she's aware. I've told her this before. It's a good thing my wife and I are married, because if not, we met right now, I think we'd be enemies, because she described when she worked at Sewell. She was a car. She sold cars. I don't know. I was going to say a car seller. She sold cars. I would have hated working with this person, because there were multiple times when they would have sales competitions and she just didn't keep track of how many cars she sold. And at the end of the month, they'd be like, the winner is Jessica. And she'd be like, I won? I would have like stormed out of there and be like, get the F out of here. Are you kidding me?
I cared so much about this month.
Yeah. And she was like, I didn't even realize I did that well. And that's the kind of trash talk that I'm like, what are you talking about? We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, the Texans, Bills, Bengals, and Ravens team up for the two most interesting games of the NFL weekend outside of the Cowboys. Let's do it next right here on The Fan.
Snap. Placement. Sweeps the leg. Fairbairn! It's gone! Clutch City! Houston!
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Now, I know we talk a lot of Cowboys. We talk a lot of NFL all day. I wanted to focus in on these two particular games because outside of Cowboys, these felt like the probably far and away two most interesting games to me.
Mavs preseason? Yeah, I get you, man.
Hey, I have a Mavs segment and a Stars segment brain for tomorrow. All sorry, right. Not today. I hope you understand.
Today we're locked in on football.
Yeah,
gotcha.
I hope you understand. But we're getting to it because I know we're coming up on it. Do you want to go Texans-Bills to start or Bengals-Ravens?
Let's go Texans-Bills to start this
one. All right, Texans-Bills. So you just heard the field goal that won the game. But what people are really talking about is the absolute clock ineptitude of the Buffalo Bills that led to, I mean, it looked like they were going to get an opportunity to win this game, but it certainly didn't look like, well, if they fail, Houston will probably get the ball back and go ahead and score by themselves. It didn't look like that would be the case at all. What are some of your takeaways from this game? Because at the one point, the Bills did make a great comeback. And the other point, Josh Allen had a historically terrible game, and their clock management helped them lose this game.
Yeah. My biggest takeaway is that CJ Stroud is still clutch. And he's grown. Like, this is what I said last night on Twitter about the Cowboys-Steelers game. You need to win a game like that to believe you could win a game like that. Does that make sense?
Like when you're not playing your best, you're not playing your best.
Yeah, you don't use it to say, hey, everything's solved and cover up your warts.
Yeah, yeah.
You go, no, man, we know that if things get tough, we can play that kind of tough thing. Everything was against the Cowboys last night. CJ Stroud has these moments where everything's against him and he's still able to pull it out. And that's the thing that I think may have been kind of missing from his rookie season. His rookie season, he just looked like everything was very comfortable and easy to go with because nobody really expected much out of him. Now the expectations are really high. So my takeaway is probably more positive in the realm of CJ Stroud. Unfortunately, that Nico Collins thing was kind of stunk. But the other side of it is, where is Josh Allen gone? Like, the last few games now are kind of looking weird for him.
Let's talk about it. Josh Allen, on throws of more than 10 yards, so more than 10 yards in the air, he obviously is somebody who loves to do that. 1 for 15. 1 for 15 on passes 10 yards or more. And you might be like, well, maybe he made up with it for the short routes. He did not. Josh Allen finished the game 9 of 30. I want you to think about this for a second.
That's less than 30%.
Incorrect.
33%.
Incorrect. You should be able to do this, Corey.
Say 10 would be 33, right?
Mm-hmm.
So 9 would be less than 33%.
That's not what you said. You said less than 30%.
I changed it to 33% afterwards.
Josh Allen completed 30% of his passes.
Oh, that's 30%.
According to... That's why you're the best. According to ESPN, that is the lowest completion percentage for a quarterback with at least 30 pass attempts in the last 30 seasons. So not a good 30 for 30, right? Like, you've seen plenty of whatever this pony excess or whatever else. Not a good 30 for 30. He had the lowest passing percentage for somebody who threw the ball that much in 30 years.
Yeah, you look like Joe Namath out there.
But you mean in a negative way?
Hey, I had seven completions. But Joe Namath had seven completions on like nine attempts, you know, not on 30 attempts.
Yeah, that is true. That is true. So it was a pathetic effort from the Bills, and now they find themselves having lost two games in a row. But at the same time, this feels like a game that the Texans needed to come back and win, because if they would not have, then they'd have been like, how did we lose a 20-3 lead? They had a massive lead in this game.
Yeah, it was 17-3.
17-3.
And then in the third quarter it was 20-3. But yeah, no, this was one of those that you're at home. Stephon Diggs wanted to make a big impact against his former team. I do wonder how much of that conversation helps out whenever you're going through your week and you're like, look, I played with Josh Allen for a long time. He wants to do this. He's uncomfortable with this. How often are you going to try and use that? A lot of people are like, yeah, it happens, but it's not that big of a deal. When you know somebody's tendencies and what they're uncomfortable with, you can really make it so. And 9 for 30 looks like he was very uncomfortable throughout the entire game.
Who's more uncomfortable, Josh Allen or Clay Martin, when he gave us the breakdown on one of these plays as an official?
Hunter, what's out of bounds before he fumbled the basketball? Well, the ball be placed at the 39-yard line. It is a first down.
It's almost basketball season. And I will say for Clay Martin, he's been a longtime basketball coach at Jenks High School in Oklahoma. He's now the AD there. So we're going to give him the mulligan.
They definitely, they protected him so much. And I'm actually surprised more fans weren't going, oh my gosh, when he said basketball. Just as if you make a mistake on the show, the fan text tells you, the Twitch tells you, YouTube tells you, Kevin tells you.
Hey.
30% of the time.
Sometimes that is a very fair point. Now.
So I'm just surprised more fans didn't get upset about him saying basketball.
Man, they covered for him like they were Al Michaels trying to sell you that stupid whatever show that's coming on that you know he doesn't want to see. He's like, oh man, it's going to be crazy. It's a former criminal. And a cop.
Can you believe
it? How are they possibly going to make this work? Like, I love the just complete lack of enthusiasm that the broadcasters will give you for the show. That being said,
can you imagine if we read ads with that lack of enthusiasm?
Yes. I think that would be amazing. I think we should do an ad swap for a day where we do like reads for products that we don't know anything about or have never experienced. I think that would be amazing. All right, give me cut number 16, if you will, because if it wasn't Texans-Bills, man, Bengals-Ravens was crazy.
Justice Hill is the back. Likely in motion, he bubbles it, scoops it in, vacuums it home. Here comes Hubbard. Oh, he threw him away like a rag doll. And he throws in the end zone. Caught for a touchdown. Caught for a touchdown by Likely.
Now, Alec and Corey, was this the best singular play thus far of the NFL season? And I know yesterday provided quite a few options that we'll get to, but this play was incredible. It was terrible to start, and it turned out to be amazing.
Yes. Yesterday, there were so many times. I think it was right at the beginning of the 3 o'clock games, where Kyler Murray's running for a touchdown, and all these things are going on. I'm like, sports is going so hard right now. This is great.
It's true.
This is amazing. Like, the first 3 weeks, the first 4 weeks, I felt like were crap from the NFL. This week felt a little bit cleaner from what I wanted out of it. But yeah, that was a really special play.
Okay.
My question is, okay,
hold on. Go ahead. Before your question, because you just inspired what I really hope becomes a new segment.
True or fart?
No, that is already spoken for.
Okay.
I want to do a new segment called At What Point Did Sports Go the Hardest? And like, you just reflect on the weekend, for example. And so like, obviously it's that 5 or 10 minutes when there was 200 plus yard plays. And you're like, that moment is when sports went the hardest. And so this is a new thing that needs to become a segment.
So I do watch Red Zone. And so what I'll do is I'll have Red Zone on the TV, and then my laptop will be on one specific game. And I'll kind of watch that one, but I have it on Red Zone. They have the witching hour. And the witching hour is kind of the last hour of the first noon kickoffs. And that's where wins become losses and losses become wins. And that's, Kevin, that's the time. Every time, there's always something weird that happens. But around that time yesterday, that's when sports went the hardest. So, yeah, that was good. My question to you is, will we ever get to a point where we stop saying we couldn't afford Derrick Henry? Because right now, every time Derrick Henry stiff-arms somebody, 15 carries for 92 yards yesterday.
And I do realize a big chunk of that was on that one carry, but that carry helped them win the game.
Every time he does anything, all I hear is everybody going, but we couldn't afford Derrick Henry. That's whenever I'm sitting there looking at it going, oh, we're never going to get past this. He's going to win them the Super Bowl this year, and everybody's going to go, couldn't afford him. And I'm going to be like, damn it, we never can get past that.
I'm not saying
that it'll be the next Nelson Cruz, 2011, game six.
I know what happened, Corey.
We won the World Series last year.
That's true. I'm not saying this is going to happen by any stretch of the imagination, but it's been 5 games. Do you want to know what Derrick Henry is on pace for the season? You don't.
1,785 yards.
1,945 yards and an average of 6 yards per carry and 20 rushing touchdowns.
It's amazing. That'll be the best season, the best running season we've seen in how long?
Man, probably since one of the Tomlinson seasons,
right? Yeah, probably.
Or I guess
so.
The Adrian Peterson 2,000 plus yards.
But it's been that long.
Yeah.
It's felt like that long because everybody was like, running back doesn't matter anymore.
You know what? This person's doing the work today from the 469. When sports went the hardest, sponsored by Blue Chew. All right. So now I know what the main point of our post-show meeting is going to be.
Let's go.
Thank you to the big brain of Corey Majors. A couple more quick things about that. I know we got a boogie. Charlie Kolar had a 64-yard catch, the tight end for the Ravens. And he said they probably got so focused on Mark Andrews and Zay that they forgot about the fat white guy running down the seam. And that's just an amazing quote. And we can pick up later on what Joe Burrow said afterwards and said, we're not a championship-level team
right
now.
That's true. They aren't.
And that is hard to argue against. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, we'll talk with our Dallas Cowboys insider, Mickey Spagnuolo. Plus, number one goes down, and Texas takes the top spot. Next, right here on The Fan.